sports, entertainment, and Maine's best guest list. Live from Seasons Restaurant on Main Street in Bangor. On The Pulse, AM 620 WZON, WZONThePulse.com, and the WZON app. This is Downtown with Rich Kimball.
And we roll into the second hour of Downtown on your Monday afternoon. Welcome in from Seasons and our Quality Jewelry Studios. Rich Kimball here along with Ryan Wehning. Red Sox have the night off tonight before beginning a series against the Yankees. The magic number down to 2. And with more on that, we're thrilled to be joined on his off day by the voice of the Red Sox, Dave O'Brien, joining us. Dave, good afternoon.
Rich, great to be with you from New York City, and the Red Sox closing in on clinching the division. And I can think of no other place, no better place to do it other than Fenway Park than on Yankee soil, which should happen in the next couple of days.
Well, what a crazy run it's been. 11 straight wins, and how appropriate to have the most bizarre game, perhaps a bizarre ending of the season yesterday. Let's talk first about the slide that never was from Dustin Pedroia.
Well, it was an amazing play. I've never seen anything quite like that. I don't know if you have, and I doubt many people who are watching had seen, you know, a game-winning run scored like that. And I think because it also kept alive the winning streak and, you know, closed that magic number, it had so much significance to it. But I still don't know how he did it, because he was out by 15, maybe 18 feet. He should have been. And Mailey got the throw in plenty of good shape to tag him out. And the fact that Pedroia was able to score on that, to dance and dart and juke the way he did and get that hand in there, and then the ball comes free, it was an incredible play. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's a Dustin Pedroia kind of play, just creating something out of nothing to score a run like that. But I have never seen anything quite like that before.
And the second happiest guy in the ballpark was Brian Butterfield, I think.
Yeah, I think Butter would be the first guy to tell you that, you know, sending Pedroia in that situation, he'd like to have that one back. But look, that's the roll of the dice of the third base coach. You know, you have to make those split decisions. And you look awful when a guy is thrown out, and nobody says anything when the guy scores. So I saw him in the lobby of the hotel today, in fact. I saw Butter when I was leaving, and he had a big, big smile on his face, because I know he knows he got away with one. He's a great coach. He's a phenomenal coach. He's been one of the great coaches in baseball for a long, long time. Scores of players will tell you that. Third base coach for the Boston Red Sox is one of the toughest jobs in sports.
Now, that ending would have made it enough to make it one of the more memorable games of the year, but then you throw in history being made with a remarkable 23 strikeouts.
Yeah, and 21 in 9 innings, which was a record at that moment, but the game then went extra innings, so they don't officially count that as a record, even though I think everyone can say that had never been done before in a 9-inning game. And the other one was the 11 consecutive strikeouts. Which, as it's happening, you're thinking to yourself, you know, I know what the record is. I've known what the record is myself for a long time. It was previously 10 in a row, and that's because I worked with the guy who set the record, Tom Seaver. We were broadcast partners, and I remember asking Tom about that once. I said, why did you stop at 10 in a row? And he said, because the game was over. The game ended on the 10th one. In this case, it didn't. But, I mean, 11 in a row is kind of, I mean, it's amazing to see that happen the way it unfolded.
Well, and this 11-in-a-row winning streak has been pretty amazing, too. 3 straight series sweeps. Dave, what's been the key for this remarkable late-season run?
Well, to me, there are a couple of things. I think the first one is, for me, that Koji Uehara is back healthy, and he took over the 8th-inning role. And as you know, that was a death trap for the Red Sox. I mean, they weren't getting it done in the 8th-inning. They were losing games because they couldn't find the right guy in that slot. Many guys tried. Many failed. Koji, I never frankly expected to come back the way he has, not in full health, not with a full month to play in the season, and still get people out, you know, at 85 miles an hour with that splitter. He's every bit as good right now as he was in 2013, and that's incredible. To be able to do that in the eighth inning for this team, that's one thing. The other thing I think, Rich, that goes overlooked is the confidence this team developed in itself on the previous road trips that were supposed to be an opportunity to cave in and to lose a chance at the division. You know, the 4-city trip that started in Cleveland, and the Red Sox went, 7-4 on that trip, and then they went 6-3 on a West Coast trip. And I think they developed a great sense and confidence in themselves that they can go anywhere and beat anyone in the American League And they're doing that, and they've proven that for 11 consecutive games.
We're talking with Dave O'Brien here on Downtown. So how important is momentum as this team gets ready to head into the postseason?
I don't think it means anything, honestly. I mean, 11 in a row is great. Winning streaks are terrific. But if the Red Sox lose tomorrow and then win four in a row, you know, you'd say, well, momentum doesn't mean anything. The old axiom in baseball is momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher, and I have always believed that. So it's up to David Price tomorrow to, you know, if you believe in that in baseball. I think it exists in other sports more than it does in baseball, quite frankly. And I think when a hitter is hot or a pitcher is hot, he creates his own momentum. You can do it individually, but, you know, it's still a team sport. There are nine guys out there. So if, you know, six or seven of them are slumping, there goes your momentum for that particular day or that series. But I do think this team has, as I said, developed such a high level of confidence, very, very close to what I saw in 2013, where they believe they can make their own breaks. The Pedroia play that you mentioned was a great example of that. And they've continually done that over much longer than just this winning streak, quite frankly. They've done it throughout the month of September and did it in August as well. I think that's what momentum is the ability to create your own breaks and you know, beat the other guy when he makes a mistake. This team is doing that all the time.
Now, other than the Red Sox, and we're not completely sure who else will be in the postseason yet, but what other team is best positioned for a deep run in the playoffs?
Well, obviously in the National League, it's the Chicago Cubs. And I'm not saying they're going to run the table, win every game in the postseason, but it's going to come close. I don't know if you can look at teams like Washington and the Dodgers and say they stack up well with the Cubs, because the Cubs just seem to be head and shoulders above everybody. I think other than the Red Sox in the American League, the Texas Rangers are a very dangerous team to me. That's an excellent lineup. It's a deep lineup. The Sox had trouble with them at various times this season. I think their pitching's gotten better. I would put the Red Sox above them, the way the Sox are playing and the way the Red Sox pitching staff has excelled since the All-Star break. I think the Sox are the most dangerous team in the American League right now. But look out for Texas. And if that happens, that's going to be an excellent series. I keep going back to when the Red Sox were down by a bunch of runs in the ninth inning at Texas in a game, you know, in the middle of the season, and they rallied on a Mookie Betts home run and shocked the Rangers. Believe me, a game like that does stick in the opponent's mind for the rest of the season. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Now, John Farrell over the weekend floated the idea of Pablo Sandoval perhaps being activated for the postseason, and I thought about that. I rolled it around a little bit, and I see no negatives in that when a guy's had a great postseason resume like he has.
Well, yeah, it was interesting that it came out when it came out, because the club's playing so well, and you'd be like, well, why would it make any difference whether, you know, Pablo Sandoval's available? Here's what I say to this. I don't believe you'll see Pablo Sandoval for 1 second on a postseason roster. I think he might be close to being ready physical, but that's beside the point. I believe that was only floated if someone got hurt. In fact, I think a couple of guys have to get hurt. And there's another reason that might have been floated out there that people aren't really thinking about. Every time there's been a threat to Travis Shaw's job, he has stepped it up. And I think this is another idea to put in his head that, wait a minute, I got to go out there and have a great run in the postseason. I've got to excel. Remember in spring training, Sandoval was going to be the third baseman. Shaw beat him out. And then it was Moncada. Moncada was brought up, and he had the job for, you know, just a handful of days. And then Travis Shaw came back after Moncada started to slump, and he hit the heck out of the ball and won it back. I have a feeling that's what's going on again here. It's a bit of a carrot.
Very interesting. We're talking with Dave O'Brien here on Downtown. Dave, you and Jerry talked about it a lot during the broadcast yesterday, but your reaction to the loss of one of the great young talents and personalities in the game of baseball in Jose Fernandez.
Well, it's a shocker, it's a stunner, it's a tragedy, it's everything everyone says, and you still can't get your head around it, Rich, because he was truly one of the great pitchers in the game, but his story and the risk that he took to his own life on four occasions to come to the United States, it's another reminder of how precious our freedom is and how coveted it is by people around the world, and the fact that on four attempts, he risked his own life to come here. And then to do what he did, to achieve what he did in such a short period of time, and to have his life end at the age of 24. I got to tell you, we walked into the clubhouse about 9:30 the morning that news was being reported, and there was only one thing on the television screen, and that was ESPN reporting that Jose Fernandez had died. And there were about 30 players in there, including the call-ups and the coaches. And nobody said a word. It was the quietest clubhouse I've ever been in my life. And it just incredibly tragic, and there are no other words for it.
Dave O'Brien, voice of the Boston Red Sox. Dave, we appreciate you making time for us on the off day. Enjoy a little bit of rest, we hope, in the city tonight, and we'll be tuned in and perhaps watch a celebration tomorrow night.
I hope so. Thank you, Rich. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks much.